Good afternoon. This is April 13th, your year 1992. I am Commander Georgos Serisaton. I come in service in radiance unto the Holy God. I'm going to put this information to tape so that it can later be transcribed without our having to reproduce it through the computer. It's a subject that continues to dominate the thought processes as ones make contact with us. I know that you readers and listeners are extremely weary of the subject, but continually comes the question, what exactly is a Semite? We don't quite understand what you mean by Khazarian. We don't understand what it is that we are being told by the masses of politicians as regards to Semites. Because obviously, if you are accused of being an anti-Semite, that's an extremely derogatory term, apparently. It's a subject that cannot, I assume, have enough conversation regarding it. It's one which is extremely important because it will point out the misleading information that you have been given over a period of time, and especially in this particular day and age when the elite cartels, the elite conspirators, are utilizing all weapons against you in their intent to accomplish and have operative their plan. It's called Global Plan 2000, by year 2000. And part of the assault is through what is called this day Jewry and Zionism. Both terms were unknown as the early days of biblical writings were laid forth. But you will find that many of the early biblical writings were put forth in order to deceive you, even then, because there would always be the plan for this change of millennia, for the takeover of the evil empire, if you will. It doesn't matter to me to be called Semite or anti-Semite or whatever you want to call me. I know who I am. I would hope that you ones are beginning to know who you are. These particular types of accusations are painful because they hurt the very ones who believe themselves to be among the group of accusers, and they're not. You who claim these labels and titles from your heritage must come into the understanding that you have been misled and once have come forth to take your heritage. I want to give appreciation to one who has become a scholarly friend of mine. He's read what we have written extremely carefully, detail by detail, and researched the work long before he ever heard of a hat on. He was researching and trying to speak out and bring truth, and of course no one listened. And if he came on to a radio station where there would be an interview. All you would get was total disrespect. Because that is the way the game is played. Gain control of your media and your press. And only that which they want you to hear can come into your ears. This person appends his name and does a lot of writing to various and sundry periodicals, so I feel free to recognize him. I will not do more than that. I will simply recognize him by his last name, his surname, because I like to give honor unto the heritage. His name is Bokos, B-O-K-O-S. And he spends great amounts of time in making communication with me via the pen. And he writes the following to me from March 30th. If you really want to get serious without playing games, you have my permission to print this. When I read your statement in the Liberator of March 17th, 1992, where you said, quote, Ms. Goodman, the most ungracious and insulting person who wrote saying she was tattling to World Zionist organizations regarding our filth and lies, end quote. This made me sore as hell, and I decided the time has come to do something, namely, write about who is a Semite and inquire of you, who is a Semite? He also goes on to say, in the same article, you're quoted as, I was a Judean, and I was a Semite from the tribe of Shem. Commander Hatton, some don't know, but all the 12 tribes of Israel were from Shem. Even King Herod's people, the Edomites, were descended from Shem, namely Esau, Edom. Today, Sephardic Jews and all the descended of Shem had one thing in common. They made up the bulk of the white race. The descendants of Ham were black. And Noah's son Japheth's people were golden or bronze. Their complexions were like the later Greeks, Persians, Armenians, and Khazars. We'll have to back up a little bit because so many of the Greeks originally, before they became mixed with the nations about them, such as Turkey, were very fair people, blondes, blue-eyed, statuesque people. And therefore, as we read historically, we will have to allow you ones to recognize the changes as history has unfolded. Because what you perceive from today's observations may not be what were present at the time of the writing of the history. We're going to speak in terms of black and white and golden and bronze, but it matters not, for all men, were created equal. You only have diversity in the color of the complexion. The reflection of God in image is that reflection of light, of soul energy. So don't become confused by colors. But you will find in those early biblical writings, they were very, very much concerned with black and white. And maybe as you can see the unfolding of the bigotries that existed at that given time, you will find that therein lies the bigotry itself. So please listen to me with an open mind as we go along here so that I might explain this a little bit. The Reformation, as it was called, made many changes in the old Bible, the King James Version. Now, why would they want to make changes? And for whom? Why do you suppose King James would want to make changes in the Bible? Even King James labeled this Bible seditious, which means resistance to unlawful authority, and would not read it. Friends, that should tell it all to you. In the Bibles before the King James Version, Shem was always called Sem, S-E-M, Noah's firstborn, and the father of the white race. His people were Semites, and consequently, they were white. Interestingly enough, Ham's people were black. They were the Hamites, H-A-M-I-T-E-S. And they all spoke Hebrew. This was the tongue spoken in the world before the flood of Noah. The tongue Enoch spoke, as a matter of fact. You see, as you move along and you watch the unfolding of the Khazarian tribes mixing and mingling then with the Judeans, the Hebrews, there was created a language recognized later as Yiddish. Don't confuse Yiddish with Hebrew. The tongue was called Hebrew in Enoch's time after the flood, as Nimrod came into power and started building the Tower of Babel. The tongues were changed to many various tongues. As a matter of fact, to stop or delay the building of Babel. But Sem had a nephew who didn't consent to the building of Babel. His name was Heber, H-E-B-E-R. And Heber's tribe spoke the tongue. They spoke on the ark, and their tongue became known as Hebrew, named after Heber. And the people of his tribe became known as Hebrews. It's interesting to note, and this is pointed out to me, and I'll share, there are a number of different Semites or whites in Europe today who still speak Hebrew, and they don't even know it. And here it is, almost the year 2000, when all of this stuff is supposed to come to be. It shows what a wonderful job your churches have done in keeping you asleep, doesn't it? A few years before Richard Burton died, as a matter of fact, and this again is pointed out to me and quoted, and I quote, I heard him on Dick Cavett's program, and he said to Dick Cavett, quote, you know, Welsh is almost pure Hebrew, end quote. Well, if you do a bit of studying, you're going to find that this is absolutely true. What Mr. Burton didn't know, or at least he didn't say, was that Welsh was today called Gaelic. And the people or countries that speak Gaelic or G-A-L-L-I-C, I suppose some of you call it Gaelic, or Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, Isle of Man, and Cornwall. In Isaiah, back in your Bible, it says, my people shall be called by a new name, which is the way it is. But they still speak Hebrew in Europe. I suppose today's or so-called Jews will be mad at this revelation because they want to keep that for themselves. Somehow only is allowed to be reflected those descendants of one or two of those tribes. Well, when are you going to reclaim your heritage? Because if, in fact, history is in any measure correct, you all come from one or another of those tribes, don't you? We always have to go back to this idea of the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And they went forth and they had children. How could they do that if there was only Adam and Eve? That would require that these sons have incestual relationships with their mother. I think not. I believe you'll have to come to agree with me. To some extent, there is error present, whether intentional through the act of years of translations. There are errors present. Along the coast or arm of Scotland is the Lion of Judah. Now, why would they have a coat of arms which holds a lion called the Lion of Judah? And in the coat of arms would be this rather tropical animal. And yet, in the highlands, they have ice and snow in winter. This is not feasible. It isn't even reasonable. The coat of arms of Ireland is King David's harp, Zara and Perez. And you can look back into Genesis and Matthew and find the proof right there. Now, this should put an end to who is a Semite and who is an anti-Semite. In the world today, there are 2,200,000 Sephardic Jews. These are descendants of Esau, Edom. They are Semites, being as they are from Isaac, by Jacob, by birth. About 300,000 to 400,000 live within the United States of America. But a startling revelation is now come forth. Entwined with Edomites, today's Sephardism, or Sephardim, are a people who come from Turkey. And guess what? These ones are called the Khazars. These people moved north and took over a land called Magog. Have heard of that? The land of Gog and Magog? I hope that you will remember it. They subjugated it. In 740 AD, these Turkish Khazars, descendants from Noah's son Japheth, who was not a Semite, converted to Judaism. Now, we have written greatly about this, friends. Please go back and read the historical information I've given you on this subject of Khazarianism. This is how these Turkish Khazars became converted Turks. God's chosen, they called themselves. They created Zionism, which is simply a political party, like Democrats and Republicans. These Turkish Khazar are the biggest criers of anti-Semitism, and they aren't even Semites, as I've told you before. So, in a sense, they are the anti-Semites in their thrusting out at you, because if you are not of them, you are, by all historical data, Semite yourself. I don't care what color you are. If you are not of them, you are Semite by terminology. In Israel today, the Khazars treat the Sephardic Jews, whose last king was Herod, as second-class citizens. I've written greatly about that also. These precious ones are prisoners in their own house, their own nation. They are basically outcasts. And it's time that you once began to accept that there are possibilities of different historical facts than have been presented to you. And as necessary, your Holy Bible has been tampered with and adjusted to fill the needs today of these elite deceivers. Now we realize that it isn't generally known, but you're faced with having to understand that 80 to 90% of today's world Jewry are these Turkish converted Khazars, who some of your top media Christian religious leaders are calling God's chosen and joining in and saying, I am a Zionist and I'm proud of it. Even your president, in this very prior week, got up before a group and addressed them, fellow Zionists, I remind you, this is the group who intends to take your world from you. It seems you have to believe everything you hear in church, because somehow, by flashing this book, they give themselves credibility. You must open your eyes and ears. You are accepting as the Word of God men's pronouncements set forth to deceive you. I've told you at great length about those in Europe who speak Hebrew. I don't want to bore you with those details again. But in Bibles before the King James Version, for instance, in Zechariah 14:14, it says, and Judah even shall fight against Jerusalem. This confirms that even Judah shall fight the impostors who today occupy these lands that are now stolen from Palestine and called Israel. In that King James Version, in Zechariah 14:14, it says, and Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem. Notice it doesn't say against Jerusalem, precious ones. The Reformation is doing its cover-up work, and it's doing it very well, and you're falling for it. To you general readers and listeners, please understand that the genuine one labeled Jew is in full agreement with this information. This friend was on the radio, and a rabbi called in on the station, and he said, "I agree with everything you say. How can we get the word forth to the people so that they understand that they are losing their heritage?" You see, no longer is it the Torah or the religion of the ancient tribes practiced. Jewry has fallen into a new religion. Well, it's old to you, but it's new enough. And they go by a book written by man, not even intended to be inferred from God, called the Talmud. And from this group of elders, called the Elders of Zion, came the protocols, quite frankly, for the taking of the world. And the Communist Manifesto and all great plan 2000 programmers are working from that plan. And it is working incredibly superbly. I would like to believe that the following wouldn't be a fact, but I'm afraid it is. My friend's first name is John, and he has written the following. In speaking with reporters in Canada were Georgia and Desiree Green, and it became clearly recognized by them that no one knew what they were talking about when they spoke of Semitism. Therefore, I'm assuming they were telling the crowd who today's Semites really are, and who are those who call themselves Jew and are not, from Revelations 2:9 and Revelations 3:9. And you, Hatton, are quoted as saying, "All I can do is remind you that we are the Semites and Jews, and those Zionist Khazarians are not." Also, you state, "I am embarrassed for mankind and the foolishness projected in ignorance." You're right, and I can understand your position, but your readership and flock don't know what you're talking about, because they have been so badly brainwashed by our clergy, who some call God's chosen, and Jesus called them, quote, "Your father is the devil," end quote, John 8:44. It's like telling the people the world is round after being told for years it's flat. The following would remove the scales from the eyes of your readers and put them in tune to what you're saying. In today's world jury, there are actually two factions. The Khazars, who today constitute 85% to 90% of the world Jewry, who are really Turkish people by origin. Some of our first line Christian ministers call these converted Turks God's chosen. Isn't that something? This also shows who is teaching you. These Turkish Khazars ruled over the area described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So their old name years ago was Gog. And Ezekiel 38, 39 says that they would be in Palestine, today's Israel, in the last days. And it's just where they are now. wonderful. And a new species of buzzard, which lays 3 or 4 eggs, has been multiplying for over the last 10 years there, getting ready for the coming feast. Now this hits pretty hard. And this goes along with prophecies, which you ones should be paying attention to. As a matter of fact, you will find that the vultures, the scavengers, have been recreating very, very rapidly. And it's pretty unnerving right around this particular area to find whole swarms. I'm talking 200-300 birds in a given swarm, circling and circling and circling and passing on overhead toward the coastline. They sense, they know the time of cleansing is upon the world. And if you watch the progression of these scavenger birds, you will find that they recognize the changing of the cycles and are responding in kind. Now, I'm not going to go into great depth on the subject of Gog and Magog. We covered that beautifully, and I give great credit and honor to this man for sharing with us. If you'll get a copy of the Phoenix Liberator of 12-24-91, you'll find exactly who these people are. And where there were 1 or 2 errors in deciphering the information, I have deciphered it. So you can consider it quite accurate. It's the other faction now, next to the Khazars in power in Israel today, that are called Sephardic Jews. And on April 13th, 1986, for the first time, the Pope of Rome, friends, the Catholic Pope, visited a synagogue. And this was the first time since early biblical times that that happened. Then what happened? Pope John said, I thank divine providence because it was given to me the task of visiting our elder brother in the faith of Abraham in their Rome synagogue. So who do you think is fooling who? What kind of games do you think must be going on? After all these eons of time, now we're going to hold hands and play tiddlywinks together. I think they have a great deal more in mind for you than that. And this statement seems to speak volumes. The reason today so-called Jews, but are not, are today Sephardic Jews, you can look to Genesis 25. Verses 24 and 25, and also chapter 26. Esau was first, and then after him came his brother, with his hand holding the heel of Esau. So then they called his name Jacob, and there it is. Jacob holding the heel of Esau, the elder brother, as they were born. As time went on, Esau's name changes and becomes Edom, Amalek, Helonis, Idumeans, which are today's Sephardic Jews. And then comes more, the Gagites, before known as Edomites. And at this time, the Khazars were still taking care of their thing in Magog, taking tributes from the subjected subjects. That's what they were the very best at, remember? And quite frankly, friends, they have never changed. That's still what they're best at. At the commercial community, the totally physical, asset-oriented society. In about 164 BC, when the Maccabees took control of Jerusalem, it was in ruins. And you can look that up very easily. Then in about 125 BC, John Hyrcanus, the Maccabean, after a number of raids by Antipater, the Edomite, who was King Herod's grandfather, who in turn raided Judea, came to a halt when Hyrcanus slaughtered the Edomites on the battlefield. So after the Edomites were defeated by the Maccabees, that asked what they could do to stay in the land of their forefathers, it was decreed that they would have to be circumcised and adopt Judaism. So here you've got it again. They would have to adopt Judaism, which means the Old Testament religions. And at this point, they called their religion Judaism, even though it's the Talmud. Your traditions of the elders. Now these people had no wish to be a part of that, and yet this was required of them. And here you get the break. But I see that we get very little break. You will please forgive the phone calls. I'm going to have to stop weeding them out because they come frequently and it's taking a great deal of time to remove the phone calls from this tape. Please bear with us. So next we see it happening. Where in the world did this term Jew come from? Well, when the Edomite converted to the religion of the Maccabees, they automatically became known as Jews. Anyone, Persian, American, Greek, Arab, who accepted the Old Testament became known as a Jew. Like today, when blacks, whites, yellow, or brown convert to Catholicism, they become Catholic, regardless of their nationality. So, when the Edomites were converted by Hyrcanus, the Maccabee, they became known as Jews. I hope this is getting through to you, being as how none of the Herods had Jewish blood, Judeans. As time went on and the Maccabees' power started to disintegrate, an Edomite by the name of Herod was making plans for taking over Judea. And he bribed Mark Antony, the Roman, who convinced Caesar Augustus, and Herod was made king in Rome of Judea in 40 BC. But the Maccabees resisted Herod and his takeover of Judea. And for years, this resistance went on. Then, with General Sosius of Rome and Herod's forces, he crushed the Maccabees with a total slaughter and massacre of men, women, and children. And now comes a secret to the riddle of those who call themselves Jews and are not. Revelations 2:9 and Revelations 3:9. When Herod the Edomite took over Judea, he instituted his own priesthood, the Pharisees. And now we're going to get to where even your religious leaders speak of the Pharisees. So I don't understand what it is they don't understand about Semitism. These books, or Bibles, were the tradition of the elders and are today called the Talmud. Pharisees we're talking about. Remember the Sadducees and the Pharisees from biblical times? Well, these are the Pharisees. So please, when they were converted by John Hyrcanus in 125 BC to be circumcised and accepted the Old Testament, they were called Jews. Like today, if a person is black, white, yellow, or brown and converts to Catholicism, he gets called Catholic. Remember, I just said that. But he's still French, English, German, Norwegian, whatever. But he's still called a Catholic. When the Edomite went back to their own religion, they still kept the name Jew, as if their Bible was still the Old Testament, which they should have renounced. So now we've got a confusion factor going here, of about a fog factor 25 or 50, 230 or 2001. So let's have it just one more time, because it is the secret to the riddle of Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. Those who call themselves Jews and are not, again, so it sinks in, are elders, Talmudists. They kept the name Jews as if their Bible was still the Old Testament. So instead of calling themselves Talmudists, which was suitable and which they are, they call themselves Jews, so they can hide in the heritage of Israel and King David to convince you that they are the people of the book. It's been the secret of the ages. And I might add, very, very well kept in its confusion. So, friends, who might it be today that worships at the Wailing Wall? Jews or Edomites? Think about it. Could it be that the Herodians, Edomites, kept the name Jew to escape the plagues the Bible had in store for them? Romans 9:13 speaks of it. Edom, the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. And Isaiah 34:5, for my sword is bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down on Edomia, Greek name for Edom, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. And on and on and on, always the same people. In the second book of Maccabees, which was dropped from the scriptures by Protestant reformers. And why do you suppose they would do that? And how can your Bible be complete and you believe every word if the reformers removed part of it? Could this have happened more than once? I would guess. I certainly would guess so. I would believe that we're to the end of this side of the tape, so if you would please just fast forward it and turn it over. Thank you. Good afternoon. This is April 13th, your year 1992. I am Commander Georgos Serisaton. I come in service in radiance unto the Holy God. I'm going to put this information to tape so that it can later be transcribed without our having to reproduce it through the computer. It's a subject that continues to dominate the thought processes as ones make contact with us. I know that you readers and listeners are extremely weary of the subject, but continually comes the question, what exactly is a Semite? We don't quite understand what you mean by Khazarian. We don't understand what it is that we are being told by the masses of politicians as regards to Semites. Because obviously, if you are accused of being an anti-Semite, that's an extremely derogatory term, apparently. It's a subject that cannot, I assume, have enough conversation regarding it. It's one which is extremely important because it will point out the misleading information that you have been given over a period of time, and especially in this particular day and age when the elite cartels, the elite conspirators, are utilizing all weapons against you in their intent to accomplish and have operative their plan. It's called Global Plan 2000, by year 2000. And part of the assault is through what is called this day Jewry and Zionism. Both terms were unknown as the early days of biblical writings were laid forth. But you will find that many of the early biblical writings were put forth in order to deceive you, even then, because there would always be the plan for this change of millennia, for the takeover of the evil empire, if you will. It doesn't matter to me to be called Semite or anti-Semite or whatever you want to call me. I know who I am. I would hope that you ones are beginning to know who you are. These particular types of accusations are painful because they hurt the very ones who believe themselves to be among the group of accusers, and they're not. You who claim these labels and titles from your heritage must come into the understanding that you have been misled and once have come forth to take your heritage. I want to give appreciation to one who has become a scholarly friend of mine. He's read what we have written extremely carefully, detail by detail, and researched the work long before he ever heard of a hat on. He was researching and trying to speak out and bring truth, and of course no one listened. And if he came on to a radio station where there would be an interview, all you would get was total disrespect. Because that is the way the game is played. Gain control of your media and your press. And only that which they want you to hear can come into your ears. This person appends his name and does a lot of writing to various and sundry periodicals, so I feel free to recognize him. I will not do more than that. I will simply recognize him by his last name, his surname, because I like to give honor unto the heritage. His name is Bokos, B-O-K-O-S. And he spends great amounts of time in making communication with me via the pen. And he writes the following to me from March 30th. If you really want to get serious without playing games, you have my permission to print this. When I read your statement in the Liberator of March 17th, 1992, where you said, quote, Ms. Goodman, the most ungracious and insulting person who wrote saying she was tattling to World Zionist organizations regarding our filth and lies, end quote. This made me sore as hell, and I decided the time has come to do something, namely, write about who is a Semite and inquire of you, who is a Semite? He also goes on to say, in the same article, you're quoted as, I was a Judean, and I was a Semite, from the tribe of Shem. Commander Hatton, some don't know, but all the 12 tribes of Israel were from Shem. Even King Herod's people, the Edomites, were descended from Shem, namely Esau, Edom. Today, Sephardic Jews and all the descended of Shem had one thing in common. They made up the bulk of the white race. The descendants of Ham were black. And Noah's son Japheth's people were golden or bronze. Their complexions were like the later Greeks, Persians, Armenians, and Khazars. We'll have to back up a little bit because so many of the Greeks originally, before they became mixed with the nations about them, such as Turkey, were very fair people, blondes, blue-eyed, statuesque people. And therefore, as we read historically, we will have to allow you ones to recognize the changes as history has unfolded. Because what you perceive from today's observations may not be what were present at the time of the writing of the history. We're going to speak in terms of black and white and golden and bronze, but it matters not, for all men, were created equal. You only have diversity in the color of the complexion. The reflection of God in image is that reflection of light, of soul energy. So don't become confused by colors. But you will find in those early biblical writings, they were very, very much concerned with black and white. And maybe as you can see the unfolding of the bigotries that existed at that given time, you will find that therein lies the bigotry itself. So please listen to me with an open mind as we go along here so that I might explain this a little bit. The Reformation, as it was called, made many changes in the old Bible, the King James Version. Now, why would they want to make changes? And for whom? Why do you suppose King James would want to make changes in the Bible? Even King James labeled this Bible seditious, which means resistance to unlawful authority, and would not read it. Friends, that should tell it all to you. In the Bibles before the King James Version, Shem was always called Sem, S-E-M, Noah's firstborn, and the father of the white race. His people were Semites, and consequently, they were white. Interestingly enough, Ham's people were black. They were the Hamites, H-A-M-I-T-E-S. And they all spoke Hebrew. This was the tongue spoken in the world before the flood of Noah. The tongue Enoch spoke, as a matter of fact. You see, as you move along and you watch the unfolding of the Khazarian tribes mixing and mingling then with the Judeans, the Hebrews, there was created a language recognized later as Yiddish. Don't confuse Yiddish with Hebrew. The tongue was called Hebrew in Enoch's time after the flood, as Nimrod came into power and started building the Tower of Babel. The tongues were changed to many various tongues. As a matter of fact, to stop or delay the building of Babel. But Sem had a nephew who didn't consent to the building of Babel. His name was Heber, H-E-B-E-R. And Heber's tribe spoke the tongue. They spoke on the ark, and their tongue became known as Hebrew, named after Heber. And the people of his tribe became known as Hebrews. It's interesting to note, and this is pointed out to me, and I'll share, there are a number of different Semites or whites in Europe today who still speak Hebrew, and they don't even know it. And here it is, almost the year 2000, when all of this stuff is supposed to come to be. It shows what a wonderful job your churches have done in keeping you asleep, doesn't it? A few years before Richard Burton died, as a matter of fact, and this again is pointed out to me and quoted, and I quote, I heard him on Dick Cavett's program, and he said to Dick Cavett, quote, you know, Welch is almost pure Hebrew, end quote. Well, if you do a bit of studying, you're going to find that this is absolutely true. What Mr. Burton didn't know, or at least he didn't say, was that Welch was today called Gaelic. And the people or countries that speak Gaelic or G-A-L-L-I-C, I suppose some of you call it Gaelic, or Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, Isle of Man, and Cornwall. In Isaiah, back in your Bible, it says, my people shall be called by a new name, which is the way it is. But they still speak Hebrew in Europe. I suppose today's or so-called Jews will be mad at this revelation because they want to keep that for themselves. Somehow only is allowed to be reflected those descendants of one or two of those tribes. Well, when are you going to reclaim your heritage? Because if, in fact, history is in any measure correct, you all come from one or another of those tribes, don't you? We always have to go back to this idea of the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And they went forth and they had children. How could they do that if there was only Adam and Eve? That would require that these sons have incestual relationships with their mother. I think not. I believe you'll have to come to agree with me to some extent. There is error present, whether intentional through the act of years of translations. There are errors present. Along the coast or arm of Scotland is the Lion of Judah. Now, why would they have a coat of arms which holds a lion called the Lion of Judah? And in the coat of arms would be this rather tropical animal. And yet, in the highlands, they have ice and snow in winter. This is not feasible. It isn't even reasonable. The coat of arms of Ireland is King David's harp, Zara and Perez. And you can look back into Genesis and Matthew and find the proof right there. Now, this should put an end to who is a Semite and who is an anti-Semite. In the world today, there are 2,200,000 Sephardic Jews. These are descendants of Esau, Edom. They are Semites, being as they are from Isaac, by Jacob, by birth. About 300,000 to 400,000 live within the United States of America. But a startling revelation is now come forth. Entwined with Edomites, today's Sephardism, or Sephardim, are a people who come from Turkey. And guess what? These ones are called the Khazars. These people moved north and took over a land called Magog. Ever heard of that? The land of Gog and Magog? I hope that you will remember it. They subjugated it. In 740 AD, these Turkish Khazars, descendants from Noah's son Japheth, who was not a Semite, converted to Judaism. Now, we have written greatly about this, friends. Please go back and read the historical information I have given you on this subject of Khazarianism. This is how these Turkish Khazars became converted Turks, God's chosen, they called themselves. They created Zionism, which is simply a political party, like Democrats and Republicans. These Turkish Khazar are the biggest criers of anti-Semitism, and they aren't even Semites, as I've told you before. So, in a sense, they are the anti-Semites in their thrusting out at you, because if you are not of them, you are, by all historical data, Semite yourself. I don't care what color you are. If you are not of them, you are Semite by terminology. In Israel today, the Khazars treat the Sephardic Jews, whose last king was Herod, as second-class citizens. I've written greatly about that also. These precious ones are prisoners in their own house, their own nation. They are basically outcasts. And it's time that you once began to accept that there are possibilities of different historical facts than have been presented to you. And as necessary, your Holy Bible has been tampered with and adjusted to fill the needs today of these elite deceivers. And we realize that it isn't generally known, but you're faced with having to understand that 80 to 90% of today's world Jewry are these Turkish converted Khazars, who some of your top media Christian religious leaders are calling God's chosen, and joining in and saying, I am a Zionist and I'm proud of it. Even your president, in this very prior week, got up before a group and addressed them, fellow Zionists, I remind you, this is the group who intends to take your world from you. It seems you have to believe everything you hear in church, because somehow, by flashing this book, they give themselves credibility. You must open your eyes and ears. You are accepting as the Word of God men's pronouncements set forth to deceive you. I've told you at great length about those in Europe who speak Hebrew. I don't want to bore you with those details again. But in Bibles before the King James Version, for instance, in Zechariah 14:14, it says, and Judah even shall fight against Jerusalem. This confirms that even Judah shall fight the impostors who today occupy these lands that are now stolen from Palestine and called Israel. In that King James Version, in Zechariah 14:14, it says, and Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem. Notice it doesn't say against Jerusalem, precious ones. The Reformation is doing its cover-up work, and is doing it very well, and you're falling for it. To you general readers and listeners, please understand that the genuine one labeled Jew is in full agreement with this information. This friend was on the radio, and a rabbi called in on the station, and he said, "I agree with everything you say. How can we get the word forth to the people so that they understand that they are losing their heritage?" You see, no longer is it the Torah or the religion of the ancient tribes practiced. Jewry has fallen into a new religion. Well, it's all to you, but it's new enough. And they go by a book written by man, not even intended to be inferred from God, called the Talmud. And from this group of elders, called the Elders of Zion, came the protocols, quite frankly, for the taking of the world. And the Communist Manifesto and all great plan 2000 programmers are working from that plan. And it is working incredibly superbly. I would like to believe that the following wouldn't be a fact, but I'm afraid it is. My friend's first name is John, and he has written the following. In speaking with reporters in Canada were Georgia and Desiree Green, and it became clearly recognized by them that no one knew what they were talking about when they spoke of Semitism. Therefore, I'm assuming they were telling the crowd who today's Semites really are and who are those who call themselves Jew and are not, from Revelations 2:9 and Revelations 3:9. And you, Hatton, are quoted as saying, "All I can do is remind you that we are the Semites and Jews, and those Zionist Khazarians are not." Also you state, "I am embarrassed for mankind and the foolishness projected in ignorance." You're right, and I can understand your position, but your readership and flock don't know what you're talking about, because they have been so badly brainwashed by our clergy, who some call God's chosen, and Jesus called them, quote, "Your father is the devil," end quote, John 8:44. It's like telling the people the world is round after being told for years it's flat. The following would remove the scales from the eyes of your readers and put them in tune to what you're saying. In today's world jury, there are actually two factions. The Khazars, who today constitute 85% to 90% of the world jury, who are really Turkish people by origin. Some of our first line Christian ministers call these converted Turks God's chosen. Isn't that something? This also shows who is teaching you. These Turkish Khazars ruled over the area described in Ezekiel 38:39. So their old name years ago was Gog. And Ezekiel 38:39 says that they would be in Palestine, today's Israel, in the last days. And it's just where they are now. Wonderful. and a new species of buzzard, which lays 3 or 4 eggs, has been multiplying for over the last 10 years there, getting ready for the coming feast. Now this hits pretty hard. And this goes along with prophecies, which you ones should be paying attention to. As a matter of fact, you will find that the vultures, the scavengers, have been recreating very, very rapidly. And it's pretty unnerving right around this particular area to find whole swarms. I'm talking 200-300 birds in a given swarm, circling and circling and circling and passing on overhead toward the coastline. They sense, they know the time of cleansing is upon the world. And if you watch the progression of these scavenger birds, you will find that they recognize the changing of the cycles and are responding in kind. Now, I'm not going to go into great depth on the subject of Gog and Magog. We covered that beautifully, and I give great credit and honor to this man for sharing with us. If you'll get a copy of the Phoenix Liberator of 12/24/91, you'll find exactly who these people are. And where there were 1 or 2 errors in deciphering the information, I have deciphered it. So you can consider it quite accurate. It's the other faction now, next to the Khazars in power in Israel today, that are called Sephardic Jews. And on April 13th, 1986, for the first time, the Pope of Rome, friends, the Catholic Pope, visited a synagogue. And this was the first time since early biblical times that that happened. Then what happened? Pope John said, I thank divine providence because it was given to me the task of visiting our elder brother in the faith of Abraham in their Rome synagogue. So who do you think is fooling who? What kind of games do you think must be going on? After all these eons of time. Now we're going to hold hands and play tiddlywinks together. I think they have a great deal more in mind for you than that. And this statement seems to speak volumes. The reason today so-called Jews, but are not, are today Sephardic Jews, you can look to Genesis 25, verses 24 and 25, and also chapter 26. Esau was first, and then after him came his brother, with his hand holding the heel of Esau. So then they called his name Jacob, and there it is. Jacob holding the heel of Esau, the elder brother, as they were born. As time went on, Esau's name changes and becomes Edom, Amalek, Helonis, Idumeans, which are today's Sephardic Jews. And then comes more, the Gagites, before known as Edomites. And at this time, the Khazars were still taking care of their thing in Magog, taking tributes from the subjected subjects. That's what they were the very best at, remember? And quite frankly, friends, they have never changed. That's still what they're best at. At the commercial community, the totally physical, asset-oriented society. In about 164 BC, when the Maccabees took control of Jerusalem, it was in ruins. And you can look that up very easily. Then in about 125 BC, John Hyrcanus, the Maccabean, after a number of raids by Antipater, the Edomite, who was King Herod's grandfather, who in turn raided Judea, came to a halt when Hyrcanus slaughtered the Edomites on the battlefield. So after the Edomites were defeated by the Maccabees, that asked what they could do to stay in the land of their forefathers, it was decreed that they would have to be circumcised and adopt Judaism. So here you've got it again. They would have to adopt Judaism, which means the Old Testament religions. And at this point, they called their religion Judaism, even though it's the Talmud. Your traditions of the elders. Now these people had no wish to be a part of that, and yet this was required of them. And here you get the break. But I see that we get very little break. You will please forgive the phone calls. I'm going to have to stop weeding them out because they come frequently and it's taking a great deal of time to remove the phone calls from this tape. Please bear with us. So next we see it happening. Where in the world did this term Jew come from? Well, when the Edomite converted to the religion of the Maccabees, they automatically became known as Jews. Anyone, Persian, American, Greek, Arab, who accepted the Old Testament became known as a Jew. Like today, when blacks, whites, yellow, or brown convert to Catholicism, they become Catholic, regardless of their nationality. So, when the Edomites were converted by Hyrcanus, the Maccabee, they became known as Jews. I hope this is getting through to you, being as how none of the Herods had Jewish blood, Judeans. As time went on and the Maccabees' power started to disintegrate, an Edomite by the name of Herod was making plans for taking over Judea. And he bribed Mark Antony, the Roman, who convinced Caesar Augustus, and Herod was made king in Rome of Judea in 40 BC. But the Maccabees resisted Herod and his takeover of Judea, and for years this resistance went on. Then, with General Sosius of Rome and Herod's forces, he crushed the Maccabees with a total slaughter and massacre of men, women, and children. And now comes the secret to the riddle of those who call themselves Jews and are not. Revelations 2:9 and Revelations 3:9. When Herod the Edomite took over Judea, he instituted his own priesthood, the Pharisees. And now we're going to get to where even your religious leaders speak of the Pharisees. So I don't understand what it is they don't understand about Semitism. These books or Bibles were the tradition of the elders and are today called the Talmud. Pharisees we're talking about. Remember the Sadducees and the Pharisees from biblical times? Well, these are the Pharisees. So please, when they were converted by John Hyrcanus in 125 BC to be circumcised and accepted the Old Testament, they were called Jews. Like today, if a person is black, white, yellow, or brown and converts to Catholicism, he gets called Catholic. Remember, I just said that. But he's still French, English, German, Norwegian, whatever. But he's still called a Catholic. When the Edomite went back to their own religion, they still kept the name Jew, as if their Bible was still the Old Testament, which they should have renounced. So now we've got a confusion factor going here, of about a fog factor 25 or 50, 230 or 2001. So let's have it just one more time, because it is the secret to the riddle of Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. Those who call themselves Jews and are not, again, so it sinks in, are elders, Talmudists. They kept the name Jews as if their Bible was still the Old Testament. So instead of calling themselves Talmudists, which was suitable and which they are, they call themselves Jews so they can hide in the heritage of Israel and King David to convince you that they are the people of the book. It's been the secret of the ages. And I might add, very, very well kept in its confusion. So friends, who might it be today that worships at the Wailing Wall? Jews or Edomites? Think about it. Could it be that the Herodians, Edomites, kept the name Jew to escape the plagues the Bible had in store for them? Romans 9:13 speaks of it. Edom, the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. And Isaiah 34:5, for my sword is bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down on Edomia, Greek name for Edom, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. And on and on and on, always the same people. In the second book of Maccabees, which was dropped from the scriptures by Protestant reformers. And why do you suppose they would do that? And how can your Bible be complete and you believe every word if the reformers removed part of it? Could this have happened more than once? I would guess. I certainly would guess so. I would believe that we're to the end of this side of the tape, so if you would please just fast forward it and turn it over. Thank you.